go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're excited to be with you again today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago, and that is when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, as well as parishes, to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Well, thank you for joining us today. And if you're joining us for the first time, we've recently launched a new series that we believe is going to be critical to rebuilding and renewing the American Catholic Church. And our series is called A Call to the Return to Biblical Christianity. This call is going to challenge each of us to rebuild on an individual level, a family level, and parish level, and yes, even a national church level. Right, Peter?
Yeah, I think so, Leslie.
Well, last week we discussed how vital the Holy Spirit is to this process as we seek to understand biblical Christianity. Mm-hmm. We spoke of the fact that the Holy Spirit is that overarching theme in the Acts of the Apostles, and it was mentioned how many times, Peter, in the Acts?
Yeah, he's mentioned 40 times.
The church we encounter in this New Testament book is actually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and promotes the vital place he plays in all of our church life.
So, yeah, Leslie, again, as you're saying, I don't think we can overemphasize how important this is and central to the theme of this radio program, Go Rebuild the Church. And the Catechism does a great job in paragraph 688, if you want to remember that we have a great summary how the Spirit works within the church and how we get to know him. And so that paragraph mentions this. First of all, we get to know him in the scriptures that he inspired. And we're going to see today how in the scriptures we can really find the workings of the Holy Spirit. Also, we find him in the tradition to which the church fathers are always timely witnesses to that tradition, especially the church fathers really bring that out. Also in the church magisterium, and that's when the Pope in conjunction and fellowship with the bishops proclaim issues concerning faith and doctrine and morals. Also in the sacramental liturgy, the Catechism says, through its words and symbols in which the Holy Spirit puts us into communion with Christ. And I'm reminded, we've talked about this before, how St. Francis received his call to go out and form the brothers and go into missions when he heard that scripture in Mass. Also, we know the Holy Spirit in the charisms and the ministries by which the church is built up. Sixthly, the Catechism says, in the signs of apostolic and missionary life. And when I was thinking of this lesson, I thought about how we shared last week at the festival that we, going out on mission to that festival, I think I experienced the working of the Holy Spirit in a way that I haven't in a long time.
That's right.
You know, and then finally, the Catechism says we experience the Holy Spirit in the witness of the saints, how he manifests through them his holiness and continues the work of salvation.
Well, it's clear that these seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit activity that are in the Catechism emphasize how the Holy Spirit is supposed to breathe life into all that we do in the church. And I can see more clearly with this overview, Peter, how really we must start with him as the Holy Spirit. And it's going to help us as we unpack what it means to return to biblical Christianity, which is the theme of our new series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, last week, Peter, we also discussed what's happening in the church concerning the sacrament of confirmation. And this is where we're all called to receive the Holy Spirit in its fullness and be empowered to live in the faith. What should we be concerned about concerning the sacrament of confirmation?
Well, we mentioned last week, and this comes from Matthew Kelly that did a broad study on this as he was preparing materials for confirmation, that of 85, that all the youth that receive confirmation, of that number, 85% become non-practicing in 7 years. And not only that, but most of that 85% never return to the church. And we've spoken about those that are engaged in the preparation of confirmation. I have a friend that is involved in preparation, and she would make the comment that many times when the children are brought in for confirmation preparation, and there's a mass connected, the kids will be dropped off for mass and the parents won't attend with them. So there's a disconnect at times, Leslie, of what we believe should be happening with the young people when they receive confirmation and the actual fruits that happen in that experience. The Catechism points out a real connection between Pentecost and confirmation. In fact, the Catechism says those who believed in the apostolic preaching and were baptized received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in confirmation, there's in a certain way perpetuates that grace of Pentecost. And it also mentions the Catechism that it's evident from its celebration that the effect of the sacrament of confirmation is that special outpouring of the Holy Spirit's that was once granted to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. So you can see that the Catechism really wants us to see the connection between the two.
Well, Peter, how can we change this culture where people are receiving the sacrament of confirmation, but they're not really receiving the fruits of the sacrament? I know in my life, before I really encountered Jesus, that would have been the case with me. Last week we mentioned that one must be properly disposed in order to receive the fruits of the sacrament, and some of us may not be familiar with this concept. Can you help us understand what it means?
Right. In fact, in the book that I wrote, Leslie, there was a whole chapter on it. I called it The Elephant in the Room, and St. Thomas Aquinas gives us a lot of doctrine about this. And the thing that he points out is that when the sacrament is given, if there obviously needs to be proper form and matter, but there also has to be a proper disposition towards the sacrament. And if one who receives the sacrament is not properly disposed, and St. Thomas Aquinas used the word insincere in terms of that sacrament, then the grace of the sacrament won't take place. But then he pointed out that once someone gets properly disposed towards that sacrament, the fruit of that sacrament will begin to operate in that person's life. So we know the sacraments are given in proper intention in the church. And so that tells us, Leslie, I think, that we really need to go back and look at the way we catechize and prepare people to receive that sacrament.
Well, Peter, this emphasis on being filled with the Spirit is critical to rebuilding and renewal. And now we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to continue our journey into biblical Christianity and how it's described in the book of Acts as the importance of understanding how God guides us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are discussing the importance again of the book of Acts and the call to rediscover biblical Christianity. Peter, I think we're ready now to explore the apostolic church and the truth about how God guides us. What can we learn about divine guidance in this book?
Yeah, Leslie, I think it reminds me that how God guides us is certainly at the core of our journey in our walk with Jesus Christ. So let me start with a story of how the Lord guided us back to the Catholic Church. So as an evangelical pastor, you can remember the days it seemed like that we began to have this feeling that something was missing, but we had no idea what that feeling was. At times I wondered if I was burned out on being a pastor, but there was just something missing. And along with that time, and I think that this was not a coincidence, I began to discover the church fathers and the apostolic fathers as well, and began to read about these saints. And reading them, it began to help me understand the scriptures in a brand new way in light of the historical interpretation, not just the interpretation that we had been trained in our Protestant upbringing or in our Protestant training. And you remember at that time we started talking about, gosh, I wonder if the Lord is leading us back to the Catholic Church. And we'd go back and forth. And finally we said, let's take one whole year to pray and fast. And at those times we always would be taking our walks, and we would use those walk times to pray about this specifically. But let's take a year to pray and fast to see what if the Lord is truly indeed leading us to that. Also, interestingly enough, we moved, and circumstances had us move right a stone's throw away from a Catholic church. And I remember when we had our hospitality opening, welcome to our new house, your sister came up to us and said to me, particularly, Peter, well, you're so close to the Catholic Church, maybe you all will return to the Catholic Church. And I said, no, Deborah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I remember that.
And so finally, at the end of the year's time, we felt like we needed to take another step. So I went to visit the church and have a time with the pastor. And coincidentally, unquote, the associate pastor was a Nigerian. And as we sat down and talked about all these feelings and thoughts that I had had, I mentioned to him, of course, that I had done mission work in Nigeria. And lo and behold, to find out, I had done work in the very town and city that he grew up in. And he knew of the people on the evangelical side of things that I had been working with.
So was it a coincidence or was it a divine connection?
Well, at this point, we really felt like that we were headed someplace that had Holy Spirit activity with it. And finally, after we made that decision and came back into the church on Easter Sunday morning, there was a confirmation of the Holy Spirit and a resulting joy as a capstone for that experience.
Right. I clearly remember those days, Peter, in the feeling of something missing in our lives. We now know it was the sacraments, the Eucharist, the historic church. And we had a strong conviction that the Lord was truly guiding us during those times. But mm-hmm. also, as we look back on it, he was teaching us something about divine guidance, wasn't it?
That's exactly right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that there were several dynamics at work in this process of the Lord guiding us to return to the church. And you have found these principles actually demonstrated in the Acts of the Apostles, right?
Yes, that's right. And as we head in that direction to talk about that, I think we need to look at the culture, first of all, Leslie, in which we live. We are in a culture where we have many, many choices that have not been there in past cultures. For instance, they say in a United States supermarket, there are 48,000 plus different items to choose from.
In one grocery store.
Yeah. When my friends from Nigeria would come, they couldn't believe what our grocery stores were like. And then, in fact, I remember in the old days growing up, on my breakfast table, there'd be two cereals. There'd be Corn Flakes and Rice Krispies. And now you go into the grocery store and look at, there's just an aisle full of different cereals. Think about marriage and finding your marriage partner. In the old days, you would marry to the boy or girl next door, or the high school sweetheart. Now, in marriage preparation, I've been surprised at how many people have found their spouses, as I did marriage prep in the church, on the internet. And in terms of jobs, you know, in your situation, you're a human resource director, and people in past used to keep their jobs for sometimes generations that you do the same job as your parents did, and now people are just move constantly in the job market, right?
That's right. There's so many options out there.
So all these choices, to have a lot of choices in some ways is a blessing, but also in some ways it's a real challenge when it comes to having guidance and making the right decision. In the Acts of the Apostles, Leslie, we see the major ways that the Holy Spirit will guide each of our lives, and I'd like to name those. First of all, sacred scripture, okay? It's sacred scripture becomes God's guidebook for each one of us. Secondly, I would call, say, Holy Spirit manifestations. Thirdly, the counsel of the saints, both past and present, counsel. Fourth, common sense. Believe it or not, a lot of times the Holy Spirit calls upon us to use our common sense, and we're going to see how that worked in the scriptures with St. Paul. Fifthly, there's also circumstantial signs that God uses to guide us.
So does it really matter? Is life random, Peter? Or is there truly a purpose and a divine guidance at work in our lives? So I think divine guidance is so critical to rebuilding and renewal and helping us go back to the beginnings of the book of Acts and really look at how it works. And it's really wonderful to reflect on the fact that Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit would come to the church, he would guide us right. into all the truth. Yep. Jesus used that word.
Guide, right.
And also, he talked about how the Holy Spirit was going to be a helper, that he would come alongside us in our lives and help us mm-hmm. deal with this complex world of decisions, mm-hmm. choices, you know, commitments that we need to make, changes. So all of that works together, doesn't it?
Yeah, so let's summarize where we are in this discussion. So in life, first of all, we face a lot of decisions, big and small, and we are increasingly faced with all these choices that are before us. Secondly, we're not alone in this life, though, at the same time. There is a God, our Lord, who desires a relationship with us, and not only that, but he desires to communicate with us. It is not always easy to hear God, is it, Leslie?
No.
And sometimes we think we know best, but God's plan is always bigger than our mistakes. And in everything, God works all things together for the good. One of the scriptures that's quoted all the time is Romans 8:28, that all in the midst of our mistakes, all things will work together for the good for those that love God and called according to his purpose. In the midst, as we look at the way God guides us, prayer is the launching pad, Leslie, for all the spiritual guidance. It undergirds those five dynamics of guidance. And so anyways, if we walk in our relationship with God, with the scripture that we're reading, with the spirit where we're listening, with the counsel of the saints that we're talking, whether it be praying to the saints or present day fellowship, also in our thinking that goes with our common sense, and then finally, with the circumstantial signs we're watching for, our lives will make a difference. And you'll have bigger, far bigger impact than probably we realize when we look at our life in hindsight.
Well, thank you, Peter, for all that great information. Please stay with us now as we take another short break. And when we return, Peter's going to share some powerful examples from the Acts of the Apostles where we actually see these five dynamics at work.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to today's broadcast. Today we are sharing the call to rebuild the Catholic faith here in America through the restoration of biblical Christianity. In our last segment, we discuss the principles of divine guidance, which we can find in the Acts of the Apostles. And we can actually see these principles at work. Peter, I think it would be good for us to lead our listeners now through these five dynamics of guidance that we can find in the Acts.
Yes, Leslie. So the first one that we're talking about is we find guidance as we look to the sacred scriptures. And there's several examples in the Acts of the Apostles where guidance through the scriptures comes. But I think one of the great ones is in Acts chapter 15, where the church was come together and there was some debate and dispute about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised. And it was really the first council that the church had ever had, an ecumenical council, so to speak. And there was back and forth discussion. And finally, St. James, who purportedly was the leader of the local church in Jerusalem, stood up and he began to go through the Old Testament scriptures. Interestingly enough, Amos, Jeremiah, and Isaiah to give guidance. And from his discussion, that led a major change at the beginning of the church, where the church would not require the Gentiles to come under the law.
So they found guidance in the sacred scriptures.
Yep, exactly. So the second dynamic of guidance that we call is Holy Spirit manifestations. And this is I have a lot of favorite places in Acts, and this is one of my favorite places. And this is where at the Antioch church in Acts chapter 13, it says that many teachers and prophets gathered there, including Saul and Barnabas. And it says that while they were worshiping and praying, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have put before them." And then finally, a few verses down, it said, as they went, so as sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went on this first missionary journey. Now, we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke, but it says the Holy Spirit spoke. But I gather because there were prophets and teachers that were in that situation, through teaching or through prophecy or some way, the Holy Spirit manifested himself.
Right. It was probably a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through some kind of prophetic utterance
right.
by one of the people present there.
Right.
Okay, so what's the third dynamic?
The third dynamic of guidance that we've mentioned is the Council of the Saints, both past and present. And another situation where the church was, again, finding who it was, a great example is in Acts chapter 11. And Peter had just had this experience in Cornelius's household, where he was talking and sharing with Cornelius. He had those visions previous to that where he was on the roof praying and a sheet of unclean animals came down upon him. And the Lord said, "Rise, kill and eat." And St. Peter, as the obedient disciple, said, "Not me, Lord. I will never eat anything unclean." So Peter was struggling with the guidance that he was getting at that point. Eventually he goes to Cornelius. In the middle of his sermon to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit interrupted him and fell on that whole group. Peter had to go back to Jerusalem then, Leslie, and explain to the believers there that the Gentiles had received the same experience that they had at Pentecost. And Peter, again, there was debate. The Jewish believers were really having a struggle with it. But Peter, together, as they counseled together and as they took one another's advice, that was another major event in the church of guidance where they saw that the Gentiles were coming into the church.
So that third dynamic at work there was taking guidance and counsel from the other saints that were present.
Exactly. So the fourth dynamic of guidance from the Holy Spirit, and this is one that we usually not aware of, and that is using common sense. A great example of this in the Acts of the Apostles is when St. Paul was in Jerusalem, and he was arrested, and he appeared before Felix at that time. And Paul was looking at his circumstances and situations, and the scripture tells us that he appealed to Caesar. Why did he do that? Every Roman citizen had the right to appeal his case to the emperor, either before or after they were involved in a lower court decision. And Paul, out of his common sense, exercised this right to protect his own life knowing that justice would not happen there in Jerusalem. And of course, God was using that common sense because God wanted St. Paul to get to Rome, right?
Right, right. So God uses our common sense or our reason to help guide us. So lastly, what's the fifth dynamic at work in Acts?
So the fifth dynamic in the Acts of the Apostles is in Acts chapter 16. And I love this passage so much, I want to read what is going on here. Paul is starting out on his second missionary journey, and he's with Timothy and Silas. And it says that they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when they had seen the vision, immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So isn't it interesting that St. Paul had to be guided sometimes by circumstances? He wanted to go a certain place, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. He wanted to go to a second place, and it said the Spirit of Jesus refused to allow them to go into that place as well. So I think that if we present ourselves to the Lord, Leslie, prayerfully, we can believe that our circumstances are also being ordered by the Lord.
Well, I have a feeling that some of our listeners might be thinking that that was a special time in the history of church, but it isn't for us today. But what you're saying is that the Lord does desire to guide us every day. And
yes,
if we seek to rediscover biblical Christianity, we will find that there are five ways he does guide us: sacred scriptures, the Holy Spirit, counsel of the saints, common sense, and circumstantial signs.
Yeah, amen to that, Leslie. Thank you, audience, for being with us today. As we seek to connect individuals and parishes to the rebuilding and the renewal of our Catholic faith here in America. To hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and press the big blue button at the top left corner of the webpage. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye, everyone, and remember to keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.